Good morning. Welcome to Leading Age Maryland Tuesday Stand-Up. Today, Denise Shope from RCMND is going to talk about winter weather preparedness. We have muted all of your lines throughout the call so that you can hear Denise very clearly. At the end, I'm going to unmute the lines so that if you'd like to ask questions, you may do so. The call is being recorded and will be put on our website after the call. Denise, take it away.
Hi, good morning, everyone, and thank you, Deb, for the introduction. Again, my name is Denise Shope. I'm a risk management consultant with RCMND, and I specialize in post-acute care, long-term care, risk management. It's hard to think about winter readiness on this beautiful fall day in Maryland, but I can tell you, based on the weather forecast, it's probably not going to be long before we start to see some inclement weather. Today's discussion is going to be very focused. Typically, we do this presentation over an hour long because there's so many areas we'd like to discuss, but I realize that our audience is very clinically oriented, and so I'm going to try to narrow this down to sort of the checklist of things that you need to think about in your role. Typically with this presentation, we would discuss everything from roofs and windows and doors and heating systems and electrical systems and walking surfaces, contractors, guest injuries, et cetera. So I'm going to just really narrow it down to what you need to know to sort of start thinking about how to prepare, because preparation is key, and how to reduce the risk of injury and harm to your employees, to yourself, to your residents, and especially your residents, to their guests and families that come in to visit, as well as any potential property loss to your community. Interestingly, about 7% of injuries actually occur during the winter months. That's per the National Weather Service, and slips and falls actually account for 1,500 deaths per year. Winter, as you know, actually presents the perfect storm with rain and sleet and ice and snow, and don't kid yourself. Just because you live south of the Mason-Dixon line doesn't mean that you don't get snow. I moved to Maryland a year and a half ago in the middle of the winter from upstate Pennsylvania, and I thought I was escaping bad weather. Needless to say, I was fooled. Also, just keep in mind that general liability lawsuits claims actually increase, and basically, general liability are sort of your slips and falls, your trips, the things that kind of happen to your visitors most likely are the kinds of claims and lawsuits that we see. And unfortunately, we still live in a very litigious society, so we need to just keep these things in mind. And again, try to be proactive and reduce that risk as much as possible. Just very quickly, I want to tell you a little bit about roofs. I realize that you're not the maintenance and facilities people, but I think when it comes to environmental safety, that it's everyone's responsibility to be sort of vigilant, if you will, and aware of the hazards that might be in your community, hazards that can affect yourselves, again, your coworkers, your residents, your visitors. When it comes to roof safety, especially for the winter, some of the things just to keep in mind is that you want to make sure that all of your drains remain clear and your roof coverings are in good condition. Again, I realize that's not your direct responsibility. But to that point, if you see any problems with drainage or accumulation of, especially with this fall, with leaves or debris in your gutters, if you see that, you know, speak up and say something to your maintenance people. Maybe you're sitting on the safety committee itself in your community, and you might want to think about just if this topic comes up about winter readiness, to think about roofs, and because, again, that's one of the most common property claims that we see is structural problems, failure of the roof, leaking roof due to snow and rain. The rule of thumb regarding roofs, and this is probably good for your own personal property, is that you don't need to remove all of the snow, but you have to understand the maximum snow load of any particular roof, and that the rule of thumb is that you should remove 50% of that load. Don't ever try to remove all of the snow from a roof because you could actually damage the roof itself. sometimes you might see your neighbors up on the roof during the winter with shovels, and I've even seen someone on the roof with a snowblower trying to get the snow off, and that's really not necessary. You can actually cause more harm. One thing that you really need to be aware of, and this is something that you might see as you're coming or going from work, are icicles. Icicles can be very impressive and very dangerous if one ever breaks off and falls and hits someone. So, again, as you're coming in and out of your building, if you see icicles accumulating, and you usually see them overnight, you know, the weather warms up during the day, it starts to drip off the roofs, and the next thing you know, you've got these massive icicles that can form along the gutters and the eaves of your building. Again, just be aware of them. Even the small ones can still be very dangerous to pedestrians and to the employees. In regards to windows, again, I know you're not the maintenance folks, and this might be something outside of your scope, but just keep in mind that if, as you're going through and caring for your residents, if you see any air leaking in the windows or, you know, chances for snow or water to come in, again, just call those out to your maintenance folks to make sure they get those repaired. One of the big problems we see, again, regarding property damage is burst water pipes in the winter, and that's usually due to some mechanism of cold air getting into a room or into an area, again, usually into a storage area or into the basement, where these areas are not, occupied. And sometimes we see cold air leaking into these spaces where there might be open pipes. And the next thing you know, you've got a frozen pipe, and then you've got a burst pipe. So just be aware of those. The next area that I want to talk about and spend a little more time on is these walking surfaces. You all have them, the sidewalks, the parking lots, the walkways that go in and out of your communities. And depending on the size of your community, you can have quite a bit of this space. Here's just some tips to think about before, again, the bad weather comes. You really want to have a formal snow ice removal plan in your community. This might be something that's discussed at your safety committee, and usually every employee has a role in identifying this hazard when it does occur, when you do have bad weather. You should have some type of ice melt and friction additives that are in your ice melt, and these bins of ice melt should be placed close to your entrances and exits out of your community and at key areas where there are sidewalks, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. You should have what's called walk-off mats also at your entrances, where as visitors and employees come in, there's a place for them to wipe their feet and kind of walk off some of the wetness from their shoes. You want to identify and mark any walking paths, especially those that are commonly used even during the winter months. And again, develop a snow and ice removal log system, probably something your maintenance people may have in place. But again, if you as the employee are assigned to check out the sidewalks and put down ice melt, you want to make sure that you know where to document that when you do that. And also check any outdoor lighting. Right now it's fairly nice into the evening, but we all know when the clocks change, it can be dark around 4:30, 5 o'clock. When you still have a lot of guests coming and going from your building. So you want to make sure, especially the outside lighting, that it's working. And again, that should be part of your routine maintenance checks, but you may observe this yourself as an employee. Again, call this out to your maintenance folks so they can get those lights replaced as quickly as possible. And also, if you identify what I call dark spots, you know when you're coming into work in the evening, it's dark, and it's a common walkway, you know, speak up and say something about installing additional lighting in those areas so that it's, you know, it's well lit. If you can't see, more than likely your guests can't see either. And then again, this time of year we'll start to see a lot of leaves fall and acorns and one of those walnut things kind of fall from the trees. These can actually be quite a nuisance and can create a slip and fall hazard even in the fall. But clearly if we get an early freeze or early snow, the combination of those items on the sidewalk with slippery surface just really creates a hazard. So again, just make sure that that's well taken care of. And again, you need to know within your organization what is the practice or the policy around the employee's role in putting down ice melt and other anti-skin materials on the sidewalk? Because certainly during a storm, you want to make sure that you protect your employees, your residents especially, and your guests also from any type of exposure to cold and, of course, the slip and fall issue. Again, check that outside lighting. Make sure you've got good lighting. And make sure that you are using those snow removal and logs that your organization has in place. So, again, every organization is a little different. You may have a very robust facilities or maintenance crew that comes in 24/7 and is available to sort of handle all that. But in some cases, some organizations rely on who's ever working that day to help do some ice and snow removal or at least put down some anti-skid on the sidewalk. So if that's part of your responsibility, understand what that means and also understand how you document when that gets done. Sometimes people are sort of cavalier about it and don't really think much of it, but again, it's important to make sure that you have logs in place to document that. Again, you should always have a plan to execute both daytime and nighttime shoveling and salting. Think about when the freeze occurs. It's usually at night. And then in the morning, the employees are coming in and often walking on what's called black ice. You know what that is, really creating a slip and fall hazard. Again, be very careful and make sure you check out those saturated walk-off mats and change them out frequently. Again, it's something that every employee should be able to identify. You walk in and you're squishy on those walk-off mats, you know they're not really working. So once they get saturated, you should have a process to change those out. And I realize that some communities may have some type of home care provider. These individuals are really in quite a predicament because when it comes to weather, it's very difficult to know exactly what the hazard's going to be depending on where they're going. But just some tips, in case your community does have individuals, care providers that go out to the resident's home or to a patient's home, just keep in mind that the hazards can be very significant to them because there's no way to control for some of the weather conditions, driveways, sidewalks, et cetera. And you almost have to anticipate that if you're going to someone's home to care for them, those driveways and sidewalks are going to be untreated. Make sure that you require those employees who do have to go out to the home to wear proper footwear, good winter boots with deep treads. I travel a lot and all throughout the year, and I always have boots in my car. I have a four-wheel drive vehicle, but I always keep boots and I always keep a small shovel in my car as well. Ice cleats would be helpful, again, especially if it's on icy slopes, icy driveways. You should provide sand to your employees, and I actually thought this was pretty interesting. It's something I'm going to do. Basically, what you can do is take one of those wide-mouth sports bottles and put some either sand or anti-skid material in that. It seals up. It's just enough to sort of get you out of a bad spot, whether it be with your vehicle or yourself if you have to actually walk, enough to sprinkle to put down if, in fact, you actually do have to walk on untreated sidewalks or driveways. So just, again, just a few tips for those home care providers. Now, going back to your communities, obviously, we don't want anyone to slip and fall during bad weather, but guest injuries would be very similar to those employee types of injuries when it comes to slip, trips, and falls. We want to be very prudent as much as we can and pay attention to those parking lots, your lobbies, again, where the water is getting trapped in, and even bathrooms, especially the general restrooms where visitors may be using as well. The floors can get very slippery if water and ice is being trapped in. Think about placing video cameras, if you don't already have them, in those high traffic areas, especially if you have outside steps. Most communities these days are pretty flat, built on one level, but if you require individuals to climb steps to get into your building, you might want to think about a video camera out there just to make sure that that can be observed and any hazards can be observed from a from a remote security standpoint. So what is a trip hazard? Interestingly, an individual can trip on any uneven surface that is even uneven at a quarter of an inch. So that's the golden rule. Obviously, most of us can manage a quarter inch uneven pavement. But if you think about the thickness of a cell phone, that's about a quarter of an inch. That's actually considered a trip hazard. So now is the time, as you're looking out through your across your campus, if you are walking in on sidewalks or through the parking lot, when you see those types of hazards that exist now on a beautiful day like today, you have to think about, well, what's that going to be like when it's raining, or, you know, it's covered with leaves, or the ice and snow is falling. It's going to be even more severe and significant. So, again, speak up now. Get your maintenance and facilities folks out there to get those repairs done before the snow flies. You should have a good injury reporting protocol in place. You know, our guests, our residents, their visitors are going to, you know, be potentially exposed to any type of hazards in our community and communities. And if, in fact, someone does slip and fall or does report some type of injury or event to you, make sure that it is well documented as quickly as possible. You want to make sure that there's a process or a policy in place that would include possibly taking pictures of the area, if in fact that's doable, if they said they tripped or they fell, and documenting exactly what happened as quickly as possible. And, of course, taking care of that customer, that guest, or God forbid, our resident, is always primary. So if it's a significant injury, obviously they need medical care as quickly as possible. Make sure that you're in a position to provide that care. Sometimes, particularly guests or family members will sort of minimize, oh, I slipped and I fell. Silly me. You know, I'm so clumsy, those kinds of things. Don't minimize the fact if someone slips and falls on your property. You want to make sure that it's well documented. Again, this goes whether it's bad weather or not bad weather, anytime. Make sure that it's well documented what happened, what was said, whether it was witnessed or not. The weather conditions, the surface conditions, the type of shoes the individual was wearing. I've seen incidences where guests or visitors will fall, but the weather is bad. It might be just some rain outside, but then, you know, they're wearing, you know, 2-inch, you know, heels. And it's important to document those things from a liability, from a risk management standpoint. Again, you want to be very understanding at the time and sort of blame-free, but it would, in fact, come in to help us if we had to defend a slip-fall case. As I said, these are very common types of lawsuits that we see in our community, and defending them is very important. And usually, sometimes they're very difficult to defend, believe it or not, because we don't have a lot of information about the what happened. So you can really help us with that. That information and gathering that in real time as much as possible. Again, every effort should be made proactively to reduce the hazard of those falls. And common sense things like, you know, making sure you've got a good ice and snow removal program in place and documenting what you're doing and when you're doing it is very important. Removing the hazards as much as you can. Again, no one expects that during a snowstorm that your sidewalks are going to be perfectly clean, but keep in mind that the only safe type of walking surface is one that is dry. A wet surface or certainly a icy or snow-covered surface is considered a hazard, and every effort should be made to keep that reduced as much as possible. Again, not only for your residents, the residents, that makes sense. But
Denise, we're running out of time.
Okay.
We need to kind of wrap it up and maybe ask for a couple questions or something, okay?
Sure, absolutely. We are doing an hour-long presentation on this, and I'll send you the link for that webinar. It's coming up in November, early November, something perhaps for your facilities and maintenance people to sit in and listen on. And it'll be value-added. There's no registration fee for that. So I'll send that link
wonderful.
To you as well. Any questions?
This was great, but, you know, I'm aware that, you know, folks take are kind of counting on 10 to 15 minutes, and they're, you know, a part of their wider meeting. So this was
okay.
Terrific and really appreciate it.
Sure, no
Thank
problem.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Denise. The call will be posted to the website this afternoon.
And do send